Hey guys, I'm Misfit.
And I am Mayhem.
Welcome to the Shit Show, where we dive deep into our emotions and get down to the nitty gritty of what runs through our minds on a daily basis.
And where we will speak and touch base on how to develop healthy ways to gain confidence and develop simple yet complex ways to raw dog your emotion.
This is Misfit.
And Mayhem Go Raw.
We are going to be going over the avoidant attachment style. Mine and Sammy's weakness right here. The reasons why people run.
It makes sense. I have the world's hardest time asking for help.
So do I. I hate asking for help. I will accept help if I did not ask for it.
Same. And let me explain why. And I want to see if you're, because we're very different. I want to see if it's for the root reasons are the same or similar. How to explain this? Okay. What was the exact question? So I don't misstep, because other people are going to be able to hear this and I won't make them mad.
I can accept help if I did not ask for it.
That goes with, and that's why I thought for sure I'd get the anxious one, was because 9 times out of 10 when I go to ask for help, I feel like you don't care for me as much as what you should, because I had to ask you to help me. You see me struggling. You asked me if I needed help. Why don't you just help?
See, and mine is, I've always had things held over my head when I asked for them.
Like afterwards? So then,
yes. If I were to be like, hey, I'm low on gas. Is there any way I could borrow $20 from you? I'll pay you back. So even if I paid said person back, it was, oh, well, I did this for you. I did this. They feel like they need to throw that in my face that they helped me.
The self-validation that goes with it afterwards.
So then they can also get what they want. Then it comes back to the people that tell you, hey, you can borrow like the $20. Don't worry about paying me back. And then they still hold it over your head later on.
In later conversations with other people or passive aggressively in an argument.
Against you.
Yep.
That's the reason I don't like asking for help, because then I started getting better with that. And I am, again, working on that again. I started getting better with that. And then the person that would always help me when I chose that I didn't want to date them, even though they knew from the beginning, I told them that I wasn't going to go anywhere. They sat there and completely threw everything that they helped me with right in my face. Oh, well, I did this, and this for you. I was like, and this is the exact reason I don't ask for help. Because of people like you that throw it back in my face.
I can 100% agree.
So that is why I don't like asking for help. I think that's the biggest thing.
And then you have later come back and told me that you have helped me as if I wasn't there. See, for personal gain, I no longer ask you for help. No matter how I need it.
And it's only financially that I have that problem with. Emotionally, I will ask for help if it's needed. If I am seriously struggling and being like, hey, can you just sit here with me?
Yeah.
Opening up wise to get to that point is more difficult. But then once I do open up, I feel bad. I feel bad if you sit there on so many occasions and watch me break down. So I guess it goes into a lot of different things. It just depends on how often it happens. If I feel like I'm in a mode where I'm constantly breaking down every couple days, I feel fucking terrible. I feel terrible for going to the same person.
Me too. Only because I feel so hard.
Yes.
So going to the same outlet constantly. I don't want to say it can get emotionally draining, but it can be. To know that their actions like actually messed with you emotionally to that level, some people can't comprehend it. So it's a lot for them to take in.
I can take on a lot of other people's emotions at one time and have it not affect me, because I know how to release emotions that are not mine. But when it comes to other people and understanding that not everybody is capable of doing such, and I also have boundaries where I can be like, I'm not in the right mental state to help you.
Yeah, I have said that.
Other people don't necessarily have that ability to be able to set that boundary and also know their own personal boundaries to be able to see if they could even handle something coming from somebody else. I try to take that into consideration, which is what really makes a struggle for me a lot. But then there are also the past situations where I am fearful of opening up too much to the chance that you're going to run. You're going to be like, you deal with too much.
Yeah.
Like, my life is crazy. And I straight out admit that at the beginning. My life is nuts. There is always something going on in my life. Good.
And I would like to point that out. Most people, like, you hear in men and women's, like, their relationships, friendships, oh, whoa, she's crazy. Oh, he's crazy. We're not crazy. We just feel more. So I have multiple emotions bouncing off in my head all at one time, and it makes it hard to think.
Yeah.
So the stuff coming out of my mouth might not make sense, but in my head it does.
The avoidant / dismissive attachment style. Again, this is the dismissing type would often perceive themselves as a lone wolf, strong, independent, and self-sufficient, not necessarily in terms of physical contact, but rather on an emotional level. These people have high self-esteem and a positive view on themselves. Not always is that the case. I have a higher self-esteem than what I used to, but I am definitely not to where I want to be. I have confidence, but I'm still humble. Like, I'm not arrogant about it.
Yeah.
I know that there's people out there that are better than me, but I'm always willing to work on myself to try to become better for me.
And ultimately, that was an important step, was you wanting to get better for you. That's the important part, because as you find that you improve yourself, people will naturally branch off that don't like vibe the same, and people will stay if they appreciate the grind you're on.
And if you are trying to do it for the validation of somebody else, you're not healing yourself. You are working on yourself for the wrong reasons, which in turn is going to cancel out a lot of the work that you put into you. So do this in order to find the person that you want to be. So many people in this world say that they're lost and that they don't know who they are. Start with this to find out who you are and find out where things went wrong in your life, or find out different situations that could have caused you trauma unintentionally. Because like I said, I believe I said it in a previous podcast, work-life balance causes huge strain in your childhood, even if your parents were good parents. The other part of avoidant, the dismissing type tends to believe that they don't have to be in a relationship to feel complete. That's definitely a for sure thing for me. I don't feel like I need to be in a relationship to feel complete. But if they add on, then it makes you feel a different way still. So just because I feel like I don't need it to complete me, in a sense, being in one still makes you feel whole.
See, my version is a little bit more savage. I'm big on I want you, I don't need you. And yeah. The reason I have to keep that mentality is because the moment I need you to function, we got problems.
And I think that's what I mean by it, because I say that a lot, is I don't need you, I want you. We need human interaction, but we don't need a specific person.
I like the way you explain it, though. Back to the difference in the way we talk, yours sounded much nicer.
Also along with this, they do not want to depend on others, have others depend on them, or seek support and approval in social bonds. Adults with attachment style generally avoid emotional closeness. They tend to hide or suppress their feelings when faced with a potentially emotional dense situation. That's a whole fact.
That is a big, loud fact.
That just...
very prominent one.
Don't yell at me, I'm sensitive.
Exactly.
That just screamed at me. Don't yell at me, I'm sensitive. So, going into this from childhood to adult relationship. So again, I forgot to mention it in the beginning of this one. We are using the Project Attachment, attachmentproject.com. So if you guys want to do this quiz, if you guys want to do your own research, this is a good place to start. So avoidant attachment style, causes and symptoms. All about avoidant attachments from childhood to adults. So referred to as anxious avoidant in childhood, which is probably why anxious felt so much for you.
Could be so, exactly why.
In childhood, the avoidant dismissive attachment style is one of the three insecure adult attachment styles identified in psychological literature. Parents who are strict and emotionally distant do not tolerate the expression of feelings and expect their child to be independent and tough might raise children with an avoidant attachment style. That sounds like a lot of people I know, including myself. As adults, these children appear confident and self-sufficient. They do not tolerate emotional or physical intimacy and might not be able to build deep, long-lasting relationships. I've known the avoidant, so that is definitely something that I've been working on. Called myself out, not just in the last podcast when we did the quiz, but in the previous podcast.
Got you, bro. That's why I'm here.
Because we were talking about runners and chasers. Runners are the avoidant attachment style. I've ran.
I'm a runner.
I came back after I realized that. You are a runner. How do
you
feel
about
that?
That's not what I thought I was.
What's more, in the workplace, they often are seen as the independent lone wolf. It is, however, possible for these individuals to change and develop a secure attachment style. Even though you are avoidant, you can work on that to become secure.
So but just like,
yes, all of us are. All attachment styles, you can go ahead and work on these things to become more secure, like having a secure attachment style. But just like our last podcast where we were insanely uncomfortable, I can't talk tonight, insanely uncomfortable. We have to be willing to be so uncomfortable, especially because this means that we have to be willing to open up.
Because if it doesn't show you the importance of answering honestly, two podcasts ago, you guys verbally heard me state that I had a clingy attachment style, that I thought I was programmed to stay. I'm a runner, bro. I'm the exact opposite.
Which can still make a lot of sense. Even though you are programmed to stay, you are not programmed to be attached.
Yeah, quiz is important. Answer honestly.
How you form relationships as an adult depends on your childhood. So let's see what this one says. Have you ever wondered why some people do not want to depend on or truly connect with anyone, even when in a relationship? Most of us aim to build strong relationships throughout our lives. So we are hungry for love and affection. Why? Because emotional intimacy has many advantages. Namely, we are able to share our thoughts and feelings openly. We receive support and reassurance. We feel heard, appreciated, valued, and consequently, we feel calm and safe. That sounds so lovely, but it's terrifying.
At the same time, equal portion. I'm neutral.
So this, Sammy, you gotta stop saying that. That's your problem right there. Calling you out.
It's my new fucking favorite phase.
I'm neutral.
Quiz told me so.
See, but this is when you really have to dive deep, because if you are in a neutral setting with that, you are avoiding actually looking deeper into it.
That's what I was doing.
Avoiding looking deeper.
Yeah, not intentionally.
No, but
subliminally, yes.
To say that you were to go back and do this quiz on your own time when you are not speaking on it, and you actually think deeper into those questions, do you think you would get the same answer?
Yes.
Do you?
Yeah, because they're going to be worse.
If neutral was not an option.
I do anxious.
Anxious? Because I don't feel like it would change, because mm-hmm. I've known that I've been a runner. I've run from people.
Well, I'm new to this party. It doesn't feel great.
No, yeah. Now it's uncomfortable. As much as all of that last statement on this sounds so lovely, it's so terrifying at the same time. It is a foreign language
to everybody.
That are not a secure attachment style, but I feel like most of this world does not meet the requirements.
First of all, attachment we're going to cover the fact that half the world doesn't even acknowledge that this is even a thing. So, with that, in itself is an issue.
Emotional closeness provides a feeling of stability, which is true. I mean, I used to cling to people, and then I got to a point in my life where I had been hurt so much that I ran instead because I didn't want to get too close. I was scared.
That makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. It's like the Home movie. Anybody that has kids, probability drops below 50% and Sam's tripping.
Ready for this one? If you are someone that needs to have a close relationship or close relationships and wants to rely on others and have others rely on you, you've probably wondered why some people lack the basic human desires and how do they even make it work.
That one. Anybody that even knows me as a person, I have to be honest with that one. I live by that.
So what it states after here, the truth is, this is the most often not a conscious choice. The way we form relationships as adults has a lot to do with the way we formed our first social bonds as children with our caregivers or with our parents, whoever took care of us. Which you and I also.
Back to you too. This is interesting.
Which we kind of went over in two podcasts ago. I always preach the fact that you still have to go back to your childhood. Your childhood is what has formed you into the person that you are. Whether you want to believe it or not, you could have the most perfect parents. Even having perfect parents, quote unquote, but not a balanced work life, like work-life balance, you can have this issue. I'm jealous. I'm jealous of your burrito.
I'm Fiji to it. That's not how a computer works.
Let's see here. Ready to go even deeper into this one. Between this podcast and the last podcast, Sammy and I are calling ourselves out on a lot of this. I know a lot more about myself because I've been on this journey a lot longer.
Some of it is new for me.
Yes. So these are things that I've gone over. So like I've known that I have an avoidant attachment style and I call myself out on it and I have a numerous podcast now. Sammy did not know.
No.
Sammy did not know. As much as this is for you guys, this is also for us. The reason why I am using Attachment Project is because I only know so much information on attachment styles and it's something that I've been doing more research on. It's easier to have something to help guide us through this, something that will make a lot of sense to us, but also a lot of sense to you guys as well.
I have a person watching me eat my burrito.
That's awkward.
I'm the person.
He said, I'm the person watching you eat your burrito.
That's the awkward moment. So, wanna about to make this more awkward, Sammy? You're about to go into attachment in the bedroom.
This is just an uncomfortable one for everybody.
Let's see here. Let's meet three couples and dissect their sex lives.
That sounds like a horrible time. Just side note.
Sammy shoves her face with the burrito. Someone watching her. It's okay. The other is.
In every podcast, me or you are eating something.
I was eating nachos before the podcast, so my other half is in this room too. So
cool. We're even now.
Yep. So late in the night, Jane has finished a cozy candlelight dinner with her boyfriend Matt. The two of them are drinking wine, engaging in a relaxed conversation. Laughing, flirting, and soon they head to the bedroom. I am so sorry, guys. I am not going to be able to read this story. I will be laughing the entire time. Jane and Matt kiss and caress each other gently, but
I'm sorry.
They pay close attention to the other's emotions and interactions and are eager to satisfy each other's desires. Like him feeding you a quesadilla.
This is actually a cookie dough flotta.
At the same time, Jane's brother, Tim, here we go with Tim again.
I don't like Tim.
Tim is on a first date with a girl he met online a couple days ago. After a few drinks, Tim and his date, Ashley, leave the bar and head to Tim's place. In a hurry to get Ashley to his apartment, Tim doesn't pay attention to what she says. He doesn't want to hold her hand on the way. He doesn't know or care whether Ashley enjoyed what happened in the next few hours. In the morning, he asked her to leave because he has to go out and run some errands. And he never texts her again. The devil.
Man whore. Sorry, guys.
The same morning, Kate is drinking coffee and chatting online with Claire, a girl she's been into for a few weeks. She really wants Claire to like her, but she was not sure how to interpret her crush's attitude. Is Claire even interested? Is she seeing or texting other girls too? Does Claire have feelings for her? Kate has to know. She can't relax. She keeps thinking about Claire and fantasizing about their perfect future relationship. The two girls decide to go out for dinner later that day. Kate is anxious in her preparation for the date. What should she wear? How much makeup should she put on? The dinner goes well, but Kate is still not convinced that Claire is as smitten as she is. She invites Claire to her place and seduces her into the bedroom. She pleases Claire's every wish and desire and disregards her own needs. Hopefully Claire would like her better that way. I want you guys, as Sammy's being fed, as we're talking about sex lives.
I'm not having sex, I'm eating food.
It's a foodgasm. You know, I'm leaving all of these parts in.
I'm okay with it. I don't know what's in his bowl, but it does not go through with my burrito.
Sammy, again, sex lives, and you're talking about a bowl and a burrito.
We covered the deflecting, right?
The bowl and the burrito.
You have tarnished my entire podcast.
So, I want everybody to think about what character they think that they are. Jane, Tim, or Kate? Give yourself a minute on that one.
I'm Kate.
I'd probably be Kate. So, as we are preparing into our imaginary characters' bedrooms, we notice the different experiences Jane, Tim, and Kate have with their sexual partners for all three of them. These experiences are not only a one-time thing, they repeat over and over again. Lovely repetitive lifestyles. While Jane is pretty satisfied with her sex life, Tim and Kate are struggling. They don't feel as much pleasure during sex. Their needs are never truly met. Why?
Because they're wanting different things.
Because they have unresolved and unaddressed attachment issues which keep haunting them in the bedroom. How early childhood attachment affects our sexual behaviors.
And no one wants to think about that. Like, no one wants to put their, that they influenced your, but they did. So just listen.
They did, because it all has to go into the emotional side of things. And when it comes to the bedroom life, you avoid having an emotional side, or you're super anxious about it, which is kind of where, like, you and I, if we were to go based off of attachment styles, Tim would have had more of an avoidant.
Yeah.
Where then Kate would have been more of the anxious kind.
Yeah.
So this is where I feel that between all attachment styles, you can have a little bit of each one, but it's which one sticks out the most.
That is true.
Attachment styles form in your early childhood, but stick with us through everything, through our entire life. They affect the way that we perceive ourselves as individuals, as well as the way that we view social bonds in general. That has a lot to do with, like, a lot of different things we talk about. In order to hold yourself accountable for different situations and hold yourself to a standard of different situations and be able to heal from past traumas and why you constantly repeat
there you go.
The type of relationships you go into, I think you need to figure out your attachment issue first. So before you start thinking, hey, I just want a new relationship. I just want to be in a relationship. I just want this. I just want that. I don't want to be alone. You need to figure out your attachment issues first.
Yeah, because for example, I thought I had a whole different attachment style than what I actually had. So I was going off of the fact that I only felt anxious, which upon further research, it's because of other things. So I was only paying attention to the anxious portion of how I was feeling in that moment. The quiz helped me identify other things throughout.
And this just goes more detailed into, that's why I'm reading a lot of this. I'm just reading off of the website and we're kind of dissecting it in our own lives. If you go back, I am reading a lot of what's already on here. Attachment patterns predict to a large extent the way we approach and act in all relationships. And then they say that sex is a central and important part of intimate relationships, and it would be logical to expect that attachment styles affect us in the bedrooms. Attachments in the workplace. In the workplace, the avoidant type is the independent, confident, and self-sufficient. At least that's how they appear to be. People with the attachment style do not want or need to rely on others. They want to be in control. Such individuals can be distant and aloof in relationships, and they are unlikely to open up to others, especially when it comes to expressing private thoughts and emotions. Potential difficulties in having an avoidant colleague. Less positivity. Avoids closeness and group tasks. Prefer to work alone. I mean, that is a fact. I do like to work alone. Distant and uses work commitment to avoid socializing. We don't need to talk about that. We don't need to talk about that.
You just want to keep moving past that one?
We don't need to talk. Negative. Negative view of criticism towards the leader. No. I love calling people out. I like calling people out, and I like when people call me out. So no, that one does not fit. Now, all of these might not necessarily fit all either. Resistant to leadership. Definitely not. I don't like confrontation.
Oh, this is where me and Misfit differ. I don't dislike confrontation if it's needed. If I feel like that's what's standing in between me and you reconciling, only because a confrontation can be verbally. It doesn't always have to be that physical. Most people think that when you say confrontation, it's physical. It's not.
Seek less support from others. Yes, that's
fair. Ouch.
And not conforming to groups' wishes. I definitely don't like to conform, but depending on the situation, if I agree with it, I will.
I don't mind following the group, but I tend to break off.
It's like social standards.
Yes.
I don't like to follow social standards.
Nope, me either.
But that's not necessarily a bad thing either.
No, I just like the fact that I can change somebody's mind. Like, you look at me, you're not going to assume I'm me unless you talk to me.
So they can have very strong benefits too, though. So the whole thing of what this one says, Even if the avoidant employee can sometimes be a lone wolf, they can still be a great asset to the group. So according to, I don't know if I'm going to say this right, Labby, Borelli, and Endor, 2014, avoidant employees can be superheroes when it comes to reacting quickly, effectively, and without hesitation, especially in threatening and dangerous situations. They can detect threats quickly and deal with danger efficiently. So that kind of, in a way, would make you think that they're talking about anxiety, because anxiety is a fight or flight mode.
Yeah, it's that's why I'm like, so I don't know.
Right. I am very up and down. We're going to have to do more research on these attachment styles and come back to them in later podcasts.
Yeah,
like,
not wrong.
Go through all of them over different podcasts, but then come back. So then we can come back to our research that we have done. So people with avoidant attachment style are usually the quickest to act. They can also contribute to productivity and overall focus of the group. When a deadline is upcoming, they are most likely to get the job done. I love being under pressure at work. That's the only way I get anything done.
It's when I prevail. You got to put a little pressure on me to make me act right.
Yeah. So furthermore, the avoidant colleague prefers to work independently and is good at it. They do not need extensive supervision or babysitting in order to complete their tasks. Reasons why they're superheroes. Actually, this goes over right here. This goes over the difficulties and the superpowers. So less positive, but better capacity to sustain a focus on the tasks at hand and get the job done. Which is surprising because of the ADHD. So that kind of, I wonder if that plays a role in why not all of these fit us.
Most people that have ADHD suffer from both. It's not a hyper or a sporadic. In my experience, people that have ADHD have struggles with both. They have the inability to focus, and at the same time, they hyper-focus.
Which, I hyper-focus on things, and I have the inability. It depends on what I'm doing. But I wonder if that, when it comes to the attachment styles, and this is something that you and I can research and then, again, come back to when we come back to this.
Yeah.
How attachment styles affect people with ADHD.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. What I'm going to be researching is, what are the side effects between, or some of the similar behaviors between toxic attachment styles and ADHD?
Yes, because
I think that's where me and you were running into our issues.
Yes.
It's our ADHD overrides some of this.
Because now I'm thinking about all of this, and I'm just like, well, only certain things fit. But again, there's only certain things, no matter which one you take, you can fit multiple criterias, but it depends on which one stands out more.
Yeah, which ones hit more? Like, when you go over the list, which ones do you relate more to?
So even though we sit there and we could potentially fit two different attachment styles, avoidant is our
main prominent one. Yeah, I was about to say.
And that is the one that we need to focus on for ourselves.
Which, personally, I'm going to concentrate on the avoidant one now, only because I thought I was the clingy, the anxious, I was trying to stay. So if I'm a fighter-flighter and I run, I need to address a whole different healing journey, because it's a different problem altogether.
Right. So using work commitment to avoid socializing. So they're distant. Superpower. Work well independently. So that is a pro and a con all in one.
It can be, yeah.
They are the quickest to act effectively without hesitation in times of danger.
Right.
They're resistant to leadership and new information.
Hold on, that's a hard one for me to... So, like, they want to do well, and they, like, just don't want to? Like, they want? Like, I'm confused.
So, imagine you and your boss are in a dangerous situation, and they say, you need to do this, but you don't necessarily believe that that's the right way to do it. You're going to resist against what they say and be like, no, this is what we need to do. And you're going to do it without hesitation.
Oh, that's not good. That doesn't sound good.
But it's that fight or flight mode. You do it effectively without hesitation, and you're quick to act. So it's just like, nope, that's not right. So then, the last superpower, promote focusing on the task and result orientation in the workplace. You seek less support from others, and you're not conforming to the group's wishes.
Dang.
I could definitely see that, though. So how do you feel about all this? Because I read a lot from the website itself, so I'm going to go back to this.
Yeah.
Getting into our own thoughts off of the website. So that getting, I'm going to look at it because it talked a lot about what exactly it means. So avoidant in my life, I know when I avoid. I definitely do not talk about things. I run away from people. I deal with shit on my own. When it comes to relationships, I've ran away from really good people. Thankfully, I ran back. But it's not easy, and it's super uncomfortable. And coming from a person that has been working on this and it has been very well aware of the attachment style that I do carry, it's super uncomfortable. But it is so beyond worth it.
It was harder for me only because I held a lot of clingy. I talk a lot. So,
I mean, I talk a lot. I just don't talk to a...
About what I want to talk about? Is that a better thing?
You talk deep, but you don't talk deep.
Enough, yeah.
Yes.
Is a better way of saying.
So you'll beat around the bush about a lot of things. So
yeah, a lot of indirects.
Well, not even that. So say that we bring up our past.
Right.
A way to avoid it without actually avoiding it is you can bring it up, you can talk about it, but you show absolutely no emotion towards it.
Yeah, that's it.
You're avoiding
the emotion altogether.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Release that shit.
That's easier said than done. Some of that shit's meant to be bottled up, and it should probably stay there.
That's on my sweatshirt, though. So this is Kirsten Morley, who's on TikTok. She's an emotional emotions code practitioner.
Nice.
This is one of her lovely ones, and it's release that shit. It's one of the favorite sweatshirts that I have.
It's a good saying, too.
Right?
Release with caution.
Right.
Field tested that one. Release with caution.
So yeah, this was these past two podcasts. I'm sorry that this is not what we normally do. This was a lot of going over new information for Sammy and I both as well. But it's another insight to show you guys that it's not just we're these two perfect people that are only talking about past situations and we're all 100% healed over here. Like Sammy and I are very much still working on ourselves. And there's a lot of things that we still need to work on. So this is another thing for you guys to think about. And especially when we talk about it is this journey isn't just us doing this for you guys, it's doing it for us. So if our journey helps you, that's what we want to do.
And if you can't relate to it in any way, I would honestly just, you can relate to it somehow.
And if you can't relate to us, find the people you relate to that you think can help you.
Exactly.
Find your people.
The right group of people will understand where you're coming from and what you're trying to do and help you go towards that goal. Even if they don't understand what you're trying to do, they'll go about it that way. If they're coming from a sincere place.
And don't forget that Sammy and I did put out our new sweatshirt. We'll probably come up with more ideas over time. So if you guys do hear this, don't forget as well that I should be getting my sweatshirt soon. So, which means, yeah, I still have to order mine, but I should be getting it soon still. I will be putting up at least one or two random videos. So secrets when it comes to the podcast.
We're the only ones to know them unless they come to our podcast and listen. So
I'm not saying anything on TikTok about me possibly coming back for a couple videos for the purpose of the podcast, still to show off the sweatshirt, to let people know that it's out there, but for you guys to also sit there and do, if you've listened to all of these podcasts and the whole thing, to write hashtag snack time. And if you do buy the sweatshirt, don't forget to tag Sammy and I in them as well.
Please.
I am still watching TikTok, even though I am not constantly creating content and putting it out there.
Same, only because here recently when life gets crazy, it's hard for me to actually sit and make consecutive TikTok videos. Like, they seem like super easy, but like, even if I was to dedicate one day to content just for between podcasts and TikTok, and that's just two platforms. That's not my Facebook. That's not the other stuff you guys talk to us on. It's a lot. So until... Work with us. Be nice.
Be nice. And don't ever hesitate to reach out if you guys have ideas on things that you want us to talk about, have any questions on anything that we have talked about, or just simply need somebody to talk to.
I also made the Discord for which we can go over in the next podcast. You guys can look out for a Discord where you guys can interact with each other and actually talk to us about the podcast. That way, if we lose our TikToks, because TikTok be on some crazy shit, I just got out of trouble. I'm not going to lie to you guys. That's why a lot of my content has changed, because I had to morph to their rules and regulations. So that is just a good place for us to at least keep conversations that we won't lose.
And the only people that are really going to know so much about this Discord because it has to do with the podcast are the people listening to the podcast.
Exactly.
So you will not see us promoting it on TikTok because we are trying to avoid the trolls coming.
It is for you guys. I don't want a Discord full of 16,000 followers. No, like if we get that big, so be it. But it better be 16K from people that are out for the podcast. I don't want you guys feeling insecure about opening up in my comment section or maybe not reaching out to me because I'm on TikTok and you don't want to reach out to my inbox. There's a little bit more of a discreet way of talking about what you're going through.
And this can be a community of people. Find the people within the community that you actually click with, that you get along with, that you grow bonds with. Because not everybody in this community would you grow bonds with as well. And that is 100% completely fine. Not all of us will be 100% next to each other. Just know that there's always people out there that are willing to talk to you.
At the end of the day, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah. We all love and care about each other over on this side. And this is why Sammy and I do this again, not just for you guys, but for us as well. Whatever we can do to help you, it also helps us. So it goes both ways. You guys help us, we help you. So I hope y'all have a good night.
Bye, guys.
Bye.